Today on Real Radio.
Barclay, in his commentary, said this: "Look what Christ has done for me. If someone like me can be saved, there is hope for everyone," Paul says. Suppose a man was seriously ill or had to go through a dangerous operation. It would be the greatest encouragement to him to meet somebody and talk with somebody who has undergone that same operation, that same surgery, and had emerged completely cured. Paul did not shrink back and conceal his record. Instead, he blazoned it across the countryside, that others might take courage and be filled with the hope that the grace of Jesus Christ not only changed him, but would change them too. Isn't that good news?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by Paul to a younger pastor named Timothy. We're looking at chapter 1 of the first letter where Paul puts down into words his mentoring of Timothy. The presentation is taken from verses 5 through 17 of chapter 1. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I would have never counted myself worthy or faithful to be here. But God in his wisdom, it's just strange how this comes about. But when you seek the Lord, man, God will lead and God will guide. All along we're going, wait a minute. Get somebody else in here. Chuck and Lonnie, well, we're blowing it. We need to get people in here to lead these people in worship. I come up, boy, you don't want to be around us. God, I'm killing these people. I spent an hour of their time. I killed them. With the word of God, they're dead now. And it's so discouraging being in the ministry. I get so bummed because I'm not bringing to you what I want to bring to you. There's almost like there's a well and you can't get the bucket into it sometimes. And you can see it. And it's so frustrating. And I can relate to what Paul's saying here about that. Put me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, I was. A persecutor, I did that. I persecuted people about being a Christian at the beach. I remember mocking them. And an insolent man. Now, this is incredible. Paul begins to focus on his past for a moment. I was a blasphemer, he says. I was a persecutor. He's going down the little, his little roller coaster is going, it's going down. And then he comes to this word, I was an insolent man. You know what that word means? He was violently, pridefully arrogant to the point of brutality. It's a very violent word. He persecuted the church. He would beat people. He would stone people. He was responsible for the death of Christians. And the horrible thing is, this word in the Greek means that he was a sadist. A very sadistic form dwelt within him. It means this in the Greek. When Paul saw Stephen getting stoned with rocks, in Paul's heart, he went, yeah, I love it. It's like a Ted Bundy kind of a attitude. The more blood, the more pain, the more he liked it. That's the Greek word that applies to Paul. Where are you this morning? Are you outside of Jesus this morning and you have determined to stay outside of Jesus because you've done too many wrong things? I sat in an interview with a man and he quizzed me on all kinds of things, and when he got done with me, I figured, you know, this guy's taking 2 hours of my time. I'm going to take 5 minutes of his. And I said, do you know Jesus Christ? This big guy put his head down. He goes, I used to. I go, well, come back to Christ. He goes, I can't. And I said, well, why? He goes, well, I've done too many bad things. You don't know why. I've done so many bad things. Well, you know what? If that's your attitude this morning, if that's your heart, I got good news for you. You can't do too much. You can't sin too much where Christ can't reach you. Well, I've murdered somebody and nobody else knows it. God knows it. And he's got you here this morning. He'll forgive you of your sin if you'll give it to him. He wants to receive you just as you are. You don't clean your show up and come to him. Paul was an insolent man, violently angry to the point where he enjoyed the bloodshed. He was a mess, and God saved him. I love that. That gives me a lot of hope. I rejoice in that. And look what he says. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine that? There was a lady when Jesus was walking on earth. There was a lady who came to him and was washing his feet with her hair and her tears. And one of the big priestly guys said to himself, if he only knew what kind of woman she was. And Jesus says, Simon, I'd like to say something to you. And he goes, oh, say on, master. Not knowing what Jesus was about to say. He says, man, you know, I've come in here. You haven't washed my feet. You haven't blessed me at all. And another thing, Simon, if a man owes his master $500 and the other guy only owes him $5, and the master comes along and says, I'll forgive you of your 500 and I'll forgive you of your five. Which one of the two debtors would be the most grateful? And Simon says, well, you know, the one that owed the master the most, the one $500. And Jesus says, yeah, you said right. You said well. This woman, Simon, whose sins are great, she's forgiven and she loves much. But to whom little is forgiven, he loves little. That's a conviction, isn't it? What does that mean? That means if you have murdered, maimed, lamed, destroyed, have been a wicked, horrible man or woman, that means you qualify to be the greatest lover of God. God will save you. That's an awesome story. People need to hear that these days. So many people are filled with guilt and with shame and pain. And we need to go to them and say, you know what? Have you sinned? Oh, yeah, I've sinned. Good. Then you qualify to be a Christian. Oh, no. I used to beat my wife and she left me and now I'm lonely and I'm a jerk and I'm an alcoholic and I'm a drug addict and I'm a used car salesman and I'm everything else. You know, hey, you qualify to be saved. You've got to become a sinner before you can become a saint. It has to be that way. The only thing that will keep you out of heaven is you refusing to acknowledge the fact that you have blown it. God bless Paul the Apostle, who our lives this morning are blessed because of his writings and because of his ministry, who when he met Jesus Christ didn't say, I'll handle it myself. I'm a proud, insolent, arrogant persecutor of the church. I'll do things my way. Me and Frank Sinatra, we'll do it our way. When he met Jesus, he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? That meant immediately, I repent. You are holy. God, what do you want me to do? And he followed Jesus Christ. He says there in verse 14, but the grace of our Lord was exceedingly, super, the Greek super abundant. Tremendous toward him in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, this, and listen to this, is so precious. You got to see from verse 12 on, Paul, in his getting maybe a little desperate and despaired writing to Timothy, He begins to focus on what Jesus Christ has done. He gets to verse 15 and he goes, wait a minute. God's been so gracious to me in my life. Timothy, I got to tell you this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Faithful, that word means an enduring. This is an enduring statement, Timothy. Listen up. This will endure. Worth or worthy, it means it's proven. Acceptance, it means to embrace. You see what he's saying to Tim now? Timothy, this is an enduring statement. This statement that I'm about to say has been proven. Timothy, embrace it with all of your heart. Embrace what? That Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's radical. That is liberating. That is so wonderful. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the biggest. And you might say, he's exaggerating. He's not exaggerating. We don't know exactly what Paul did, but we know this from the previous verses, that it was bad. And he was so blessed realizing that, focusing on that victory, that Christ, the bottom line is that he came to save sinners. You see the beauty to this? Do you see the romance to what Paul is saying? I was a wretch, lost bum. I was a mess. Jesus Christ came. Timothy, do you hear me, Timothy? Here's an aged man going to the block soon to be beheaded, telling Tim, man, this is great. And he goes right back to the basics. I was a sinner. I was lost. It's proven that Christ came into the world to save sinners. I want to put it to you this way. Barclay, in his commentary, said this. Look what Christ has done for me. If someone like me can be saved, there is hope for everyone, Paul says. Suppose a man was seriously ill or had to go through a dangerous operation. It would be the greatest encouragement to him to meet somebody and talk with somebody who has undergone that same operation, that same surgery, and had emerged completely cured. Paul did not shrink back and conceal his record. Instead, he blazoned it across the countryside, that others might take courage and be filled with the hope that the grace of Jesus Christ not only changed him, but would change them too. Isn't that good news? You go in for a surgery, you're getting ready, and somebody's getting wheeled out. What are you in here for? Oh, they just had my discombobulator taken out. Really? Yeah. And the guy's alive. He's got real blood going through him, and he's recovering, and he's fine. As you're going in and he's coming out, what an encouragement. Jesus Christ died, rose again from the grave to set us free. He went before us into surgery, so to speak, to deliver us. Why? Hey, one of the reasons is that we would not have to fear death anymore, because we had the promise of resurrection. We've got the promise of power in our lives as a believer. He's gone to surgery for us. We know that we'll come out on the other side. He's not going to lose us. He's not going to somehow blink and we fall out of the kingdom. This is so precious. Paul's telling Timothy, Tim, the news is you're in the ministry. You're a Christian first. Guess what, Timothy? In my life, I have been such a wretch of a sinner. And I have found this to be true. And I embrace it into my heart and I don't let it go, that Christ died for me. That he came to die for sinners, of whom I am chief. However, he says in verse 16, for this reason I obtained mercy. What reason? Why? That in me first Christ Jesus might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. That word simply means, or that statement simply means this. God looked down from heaven. I'm serious now. You got to listen to this. You may need this. God looked down from heaven and he combed his eyes over men. And he said, who's the biggest loser Who's the biggest sinner? Who's the most stubborn, the most arrogant, the most self-willed nincompoop in the world? And Paul had this little bullseye on the top of his bald head. And God looked down and he goes, look at that little arrogant, stubborn, bullheaded, self-righteous nincompoop. He's a creep. And all the angels are going, creep, 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 creep. He's a loser, 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 loser. He needs to be damned. He's a wicked man. Yes, wicked, wicked. And the angels who love righteousness and judgment are going, yes, yes. And God goes, I'll save him. What? Gabriel walks over and goes, God, what do you mean? He's killing Christians. He's making our ministry really hard to these saints of yours. Ah, but I'm going to use him as a industry standard. You see, he's such a loser that if my hand comes upon his life and he's redeemed and everybody's going to say, no way, it can't be Paul, then I will be glorified. So the bigger the sinner, the bigger the saint. God loves a challenge. And in my own heart, God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it in 6 days. It takes God an entire lifetime to cause us to come clearly to righteousness. And I love that. God's creation is not done. He's working on all of us to become more like Jesus Christ. If you in your heart this morning are condemned because of your wrongdoing, because of loving other things other than the God of heaven supremely, you violated the first commandment and you're guilty of hell, the Bible says. If you haven't done that, if you have done that, if you've missed loving God, the Bible says you're guilty of all. Well, you know what? It's a catch 22. You got to be guilty before you can become guiltless. When God saw that little Paul walking around down there with his 4'9" stature and his attitude 10 feet tall, he said, I got to save that poor little bum. And through Paul came some of the most beautiful, the most contemplative, the greatest depth of scripture God penned through Paul. And that is good news to us. Don't ever exclude yourself outside the grace of God. Paul starts this thing out by talking about those who were messing people up in false doctrine. Paul begins to focus on what God has done for him. It sets his heart free again, and he begins to preach and praise. And you know what happens? It turns into a doxology. He begins to freak out. He gets Pentecostal with his pen in his hand and his parchment. And he's writing to Timothy. He's shown long-suffering. He's going to use me as an R&D work. I'm going to be the ministry standard. He's going to set a seal upon me and use me. I'm a fumbling bozo, Timothy, but he's going to use me. And when he saw me, he said, I'm going to use him as a pattern to those who are going to believe, verse 16, on him for everlasting life. Paul's life was an example that nobody can be outside the saving grace of God. And Paul is so, his heart is so welling up with praise, adoration, and worship to God that he pens verse 17, which is so precious, and he just wigs, and he goes, now, to the King eternal. I mean, you can hear him getting pumped. To the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise. He's so blessed. Be honor and glory forever and ever. And that word amen in the Hebrew is, let it be so. Oh, Lord, just let it keep going. Just let it be so forever. You, oh God, are immortal, eternal, invisible. You're awesome, God. In just 17 verses of this chapter, Paul starts out with a dirge about false teachers. Focusing on what God has done in his life, he's now in the clouds of praise and worship to Timothy. And we'll end with this. Verse 17, God is eternal. I'm part-time, to say the least. God is immortal. I'm mortal. God is invisible. I'm too visible. God is wise. I'm foolish. But you know what the beautiful thing is? Now that you're a Christian, if you focus on your past in a negative sense, it'll destroy you. If you focus on your past, like Paul here has given his testimony to Timothy, if you focus on your past with thanksgiving, God, I thank you, I'm not a bank robber anymore. God, I thank you, I'm not this anymore. As you look at your past and what God has brought you from, you know what's going to happen to you? You'll be like Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is a man who meditates in his law day and night. That word means he preaches to himself. You begin to say, I'm not a fornicator anymore. I'm not a kidnapper anymore. I'm not a bank robber. I'm not a this, I'm not a that. And you begin to praise God. And you begin to worship him because of what God has done in your life. As we get into this epistle, God help us to understand the heart of Paul as he writes to Timothy. And I would ask you clearly, please, because I've been having, in my own heart, I've been having a hard time these last couple weeks in this chapter. And I ask you to pray this for me. We came through Matthew and it was so precious as we began to take on the characteristics and the person of Jesus. And now we come to Timothy about servanthood and about commitment. And you know what? The enemy didn't like Matthew to begin with in that study. He's not going to like this study either, because if it's done in the Holy Spirit, servants of God will be produced from this study. And you will go forth blessing your home and blessing your neighborhood and blessing the world. And that was our motive for starting this book. And I got to tell you, in the last 2 weeks, the spiritual warfare that I've had in my own personal life has been absolutely incredible. And I would ask you, as we continue to go through this book, please keep this book in prayer as we go through this. It's been a tremendous time, and I ask that of you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Paul's first letter to Timothy. It's a look at chapter 1 and verses 5 through 17, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've just gotten underway with this series through 1 Timothy because we recently wrapped up a fascinating series in the book of Acts. The New Testament narrative, commonly known as Acts of the Apostles, can arguably be referred to as the Acts of the Holy Spirit or the infancy of the church. To a great extent, it also highlights those events related to the conversion and ministry of the author of many New Testament letters. In fact, to better understand Paul's letters, including the one that we're reading right now, the book of Acts serves as a valuable guideline or historical roadmap. So to hear the series from the beginning, we've made it easy. We've condensed the entire series all into one MP3 CD. And our offer is the same. For your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio of any amount, we'll send it your way. You can get in touch by calling, clicking, or writing. Here's our phone number. By the way, it's toll-free. 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can click realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Or you can do it the traditional way. Send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Just mention it by name, the MP3 CD of the Book of Acts. Again, our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.